Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz now with the Action Network. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
We've been better, Jeff. Things are not great right now. All right, it's going to be a long season for the Cavaliers. The Indians are out of the playoffs, and the Browns' defense is in shambles and got smoked by the Chargers. So we could be better, you know?
I mean, you have a rookie quarterback. I mean, you're going to have your issues at times.
No doubt. Well, let's start there. Obviously, you know, last week not a great game for Baker, but the Browns are dropping the ball, their receivers, that is, at an alarming rate. Now, they've got some guys banged up, but the Browns are double the league average in terms of drop percentage. Sometimes I feel like when you say that, you're giving the quarterback a pass, and Baker obviously didn't play a great game last week, but he's not getting much help, Jeff.
Well, I mean, obviously it matters. You have to take, look, statistics, you have to take it all into account, right, when you look at the entire picture. And does it excuse poor plays that Baker makes? No, but that does add some context if he's having drops. And look, drops, especially on third down, are huge. You know, converting one third down keeps the clock going, keeps the ball moving. But you have to look at when these drops happen, how they affect the offense. Obviously, it's not ideal to have drops. Something they have to work on. I mean, they have wide receivers that you think should be able to catch the ball, and obviously they have an issue with that.
Jeff, hey, what did you think about Jarvis Landry before he came to the Browns? I mean, did you think he was a big-time receiver?
I thought he was. I thought he played well in Miami, obviously with not the best quarterbacks. I'm generally of the idea that the wide receiver is kind of the last guy you add to your team. I think if we look at when you build a team, them and running backs, you never think to yourself, well, that team won because they had the wide receiver. But in the Browns' case, I mean, they have a lot of pieces in place. So adding Jarvis Landry, I think, was a smart move, considering you have a young tight end, you have a young quarterback, you have a young pieces on the offensive line, right? You have – that money is well spent in that situation, considering what the Browns' cap was at. So I think good wide receiver. He makes some excellent catches. Some difficult catches, which is really the hallmark of a great wide receiver, is being able to extend your hands and make these tough catches. So I think is he top 10 wide receiver in the NFL?
15.
I don't know. I
mean, probably 10 to 15.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Our problem right now, Jeff, is that is he's not being a great leader on this team. He's kind of sulking. Last week, they had a little adversity.
The guy who cussed on Hard Knocks for 10 minutes straight is not the leader we thought he was. I'm color me shocked.
That speech got everyone like all hyped up, and they thought it was great. And he hasn't really been that since he's been here, or at least the last couple weeks.
I thought it was more for show than anything else. I was like, okay, you played, man. When was a time when you had a players only meeting like that, when you came out thinking like, wow, I'm more fired up now? I've never once had a players only meeting or another fellow teammate like cussed at me for 10 minutes, think to myself, wow, we're much better after this now, right? Like whenever I've had guys speak up about needing to do something, it's like a Saturday night or it's, you know, it's like it's right before the game and it feels very heartfelt. And it's not like a planned team meeting on a Monday. So I never bought any of that hype stuff, and it obviously hasn't done very much.
I think that happened one time for me, and it was from a player that didn't really talk a lot, and it was real. You knew it was real. It was not, you know, you can always see the BS, and you can tell if a guy is, you know, you're like rolling your eyes on, honestly, like when a player who isn't doing it all the time, and then all of a sudden he wants to try and tell us how to do it. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know Jarvis, and I'm not attacking him personally.
No.
I just want to see more from this guy.
Look, this is why the wide receiver position is so interesting to me, because we've seen Odell pout, we've seen Antonio Brown pout this year. They want the ball. They want calling touchdowns. And that's part of paying for wide receivers. You get some of that diva in them. And when things go well, the winning kind of perfumes over all the negative vibes. And when you lose a couple of games, it all comes back. And I think that's, you know, where the Browns are at times is they play well, they play poorly, they play well, they play poorly. It just, it bothers Landry. He wants his own, right? He's been paid. He wants to get the catches that he was getting in Miami.
We're talking with Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. Jeff, obviously, you know, a lot of sacks on Baker last week, some of that on him, you know, especially with the gimpy ankle. He seemed to be holding on the ball longer. But their tackles have been, you know, a little up and down. But I want to talk about the center situation because J.C. Treader's banged up right now. There's a chance he won't play. Austin Corbett is going to get the start at center, a position he's never played, can't go. How concerned would you be about that?
Oh, that's tough, man. Obviously, he's got the maybe the side. Dude, I remember when I was like emergency center a couple of times, it was disaster in practice. I mean, it was bad. I remember they put me in there. It really only happened when I got to New York, and I had to snap. You know what? I did snap. I snapped in Carolina when I was young, when I was like my second year in practice. I needed a center, so I decided to learn how to do it a little bit then. And luckily, we had big Hollis Thomas was a nose tackle, and he like took it easy on me in practice because he could just dominate me when he wanted to. I didn't know what I was doing. I did it again in New York, and the coaches cussed at me. Like the first time they put me in with Eli to do it, I had a bad snap. Like they started yelling at me, like, "God, I don't do this." For a living, I played every position but center. It's going to be tough, I think. You know, you're on the road, too, and Tampa's not, you know, I'd say a great home environment, but nonetheless, it's going to be a home environment, a away environment where it's going to be loud and obviously hostile. So it's going to be tough, especially with a young quarterback, too, because we got this conversation on Twitter yesterday. You know, In the run game, the center is typically in charge of making the points for the, you know, the Mike linebacker, whoever you want to point, Mike Will, whoever you're working to, right? It's typically the center's job. In the pass game, it's a combination between the center and the quarterback because the quarterback has to know who you're working to make sure he knows his hots and sights. And so that's where I think they're going to have some issues. You have a brand new center with a rookie quarterback and trying to figure out, you know, who the backers are you're working to. And lastly, remember, you're going to see a little bit different of a Tampa defense this week because they have a new coordinator. So you might get a little confused as well having a rookie quarterback and a new center.
You know, another thing too is you know, defensively the Browns are down a bunch of dudes. And we're talking a lot about this game, and you talk about like wagering and stuff. I mean, I'd be taking the over in this game, Jeff. I mean,
oh,
I think it's gonna be both defenses.
I don't know how you don't take over most games now. That's a lot of points too. In this game, I think it was like 55, 56. Let me check. It's hard. It is so hard to bet some of these numbers because you see these big lines. You think to yourself, man, there's no way that, you know, the teams are going to score, you know, these many points, and they do. You know, Kansas City,
it's 50
like,
and a half.
50 and a half is not that bad. I've stayed away from all totals this year. I'm pretty good betting under so far. Like I take two bad offensive lines that are playing and just bet the under. It seems to work well for me. So I'm like 15-9 betting unders in NFL this year. And that includes team totals as well. But yeah, I think the over, I wouldn't play the line here in this game. Three is a very neutral number, right? That basically means that they're, if they play on a neutral field, they, you know, there'll be a pick 'em game. So I would, if I were to play anything, probably the over would be the play I think I'd make.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about the defensive changes for Tampa. We'll see what they're going to do there. I mean, I just don't know how the Browns' only prayer of slowing down Tampa is Jameis just being Jameis sometimes and throwing picks and maybe get to him because the Browns are down to the second and third corners are out. Their best safety, Randall's gimpy, yeah. And their middle linebacker, Schobert, is out. So I don't know. How do they slow down Tampa? I know they're not a great running team, although Barber had a good game last week. But they've got so many weapons in their passing attack, Jeff.
I think you just hope to force turnovers and put Winston in bad situations. I mean, sometimes this is why, you know, it's a team game. Sometimes your special teams and your offense got to play better to pick up one side of the ball. So I'm not sure that I can give you a great game plan other than, you know, you hope your offense puts up a lot of points and you get a couple good special teams plays and you help with the field position and you make it a field position game and run the football, which the Browns have done pretty well so far.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I often criticize Hugh Jackson, and we'll continue to do that, especially when he's not aggressive.
No,
but
I do it all the time. It's okay.
Yeah. as you should. But how about last week, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis punting, first drive, second half, fourth and one at the Steelers 40, and then their terrible clock management right before they scored the touchdown to at the end of the regulation. I mean, how pathetic was that?
I just don't get why coaches don't go for it more on fourth and one.
Crazy.
It always comes back to bite it. Like, we saw Dallas, really funny, right? So Dallas doesn't go for it against the Texans on fourth and one, but then up 37-7 in the same situation against the Jaguars, they went for it. I mean, like, don't even watch the Rams. The Rams just go for it. They just do it all the time. The Eagles.
Right.
Look how good they're playing. Like, go ahead and do it. Go for it. I don't understand why coaches continue to be conservative. That never wins you games. And I think we're seeing a move with younger coaches and first-time coaches to be more aggressive because they figured that in the long run, it doesn't hurt you. You might lose a game. You know, we saw in Indy, they were aggressive at the end of overtime. You know, it might lose you a game. But in the end, I think it endears your players to you as a coach, and you'll end up winning more often than you'll lose.
Jeff, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
All right. Take care, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.